Good morning, everyone. It's now time for scripture reading. But before I get started, I want everyone to take out their bulletin. It looks like this. And you take it, you open it up to the first page, which is this one. At the very bottom, there's the verses, and I'd like you to read them with me as I go along. So here we go. Are you ready? Everybody have their bulletin open to the first page? And it's Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. You ready? I'm ready. Okay, let's get started. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And thanks for helping out.
If I have a little strange look in my eye, it's because I was with a bunch of boys and men last night that were in a Pathfinder camp out, and it was really hot to begin with, and then it cooled off, and then we had some of them, including maybe myself, that snored a little bit. And so, you know, some of that stuff plays into how you feel in the morning when you wake up. But when I saw the beautiful weather outside, all of that kind of melted away. It was wonderful to be able to be among the Pathfinders, and it's wonderful to be among you today. I want to welcome those who are in the singles ministry. We know that you're touring around the state and doing different things and activities, and today you're going to be over in the park next door here and fellowshipping with one another and also having a potluck. It's wonderful to see that kind of stuff. Also, I know that there's expectations now that we see that the pandemic is technically over and now we're into something a little bit less strenuous, but still a little cautionary. It's so easy to be offended by the beliefs and the practices of people around us, but I just want you to know that during this time, our church family, we will not be offended by anything that you do or say, because we've been through a lot this last year, have we not? Last 2 years. So we just want to say that before we start. And today I would like to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, because wouldn't it be amazing if you could see your guardian angel right now? Wouldn't it be an interesting conversation if you could look over and be like, oh, hi, how are you doing? So can you tell me about all the things that maybe I missed? Wouldn't it be amazing to see that? Before we open God's word today, let's have a word of prayer before we start. Our Father in heaven, be with us as we study your word. And dear Father, through the life of just a few individuals, please change us. And dear Father, if it's possible, that you will too open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this sermon, The Angel Army. And some of you are very familiar with this. Some of you are a little bit familiar with this, but I'd like to take a look at it this morning, if you would, with me. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and it starts with verse 8. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place there will be my camp. And the men of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the men of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and that he guarded himself there more than just once or twice. But the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of the servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak, even in your own bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and he came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early in the morning and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was encircling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master," and I don't think this wording is actually correct. I don't put yourself in his shoes. I would not say, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people with blindness, I pray." So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor the way to the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he brought them into Samaria. When he had come to Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel, when he saw them, said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with the sword and with the bow? And set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And when they had eaten and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master, and the marauding bands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. A very strange story, to say the least. I mean, we can put ourselves in a couple different places in this story. Put yourself as the people in the town of Dothan. And all of a sudden, you wake up in the morning, and what is surrounding your city? Death. Or you can put yourself in the place of the king of Aram. Every time I make a plan, it is absolutely destroyed because somebody is telling the Israelites what is going on. This is not fair. We should be able to destroy these. I mean, they're bugs. We can squash them. Come on. Put yourself in the Israelite king's position. King, the Lord told me that you're going to have an ambush over here. You don't need to send your armies over there. Or this is where they're coming from. I mean, it's like having satellite imagery going on and intel nowadays where you look down and be like, "Oh, look, I think there's a fly on the trunk of that. That's a missile carrier." They didn't have that back then. But God was telling them every move of the enemy. Put yourself in the place of Elisha. Put yourself in the place of Elisha. You are knowing everything that's going on, and now you are a man that has a price on your head. And the king wants to kill you, but the God of the universe keeps intervening, and you know exactly what's going to happen next. The temptation for me, if I were in his shoes, would be like, "Can't touch this. I am something that you will not be able to even come near." Viewing from the outside, it's a little different. This story is something that's amazing. But I want to later on take a look at two prayers and two types of eyesight. How many of you, if you were all of a sudden smitten with blindness today, it would be a bad thing? And some of you, you may have this, may slowly be taking over. I have relatives that things have happened to their eyes over the years and you can't see as well as you used to. And I've had even some friends that lost their eyesight altogether. What does that feel like? And then if there's another thing, we talked about the angels before. What if you can't see what God is doing around you and all you see is the bad things that are happening? Can I hear an amen if any of you were there in the last 2 years? And by the way, in this church, it's okay to admit that you're not okay. Okay? It's okay because the rest of us will gather around you and we will support you. That's what it is to have a family of God. And when we look at this angel army, I think we're going to see something amazing. We see the king of Aram. We see this war start. And usually the kings made war in the spring. I think there's a king right now that's making war in the spring. And it could be interesting that if God could have prevented anything, why wouldn't he just have said, no, you're not going to have war? I would have loved that in this story, but I think God's name needed to be seen a little bit more. And so he let the war happen. And you know what? I don't know why that happens. I wish I did, because I know that God does not like death. I know it. But they were making war, and God allowed it. And then he put Elisha, his servant, in a place where something could take great, great imagination to even think would happen. I sometimes ask not only why God allows things, but then I ask why I'm asking that question. And I'm tempted all the time to say, God, then you're not in charge? He says, yes, I am in charge, and don't forget it. You see, a lot of us look for the negative in the world around us. And all we see is the bad things that happen. And we need to be aware that there are good things that are happening every second of every day. We need to realize that the king of Aram was only given his position by the king of the universe. His kingdom was known as the Syrians and the Paul. Some of you are like, the Paul? If you look in that area, there were a lot of little tribes during this time, and a lot of them got together and they became Syria, and then later some Assyria, and then the greater area, there was a lot of language that was spread around. And their language actually survived their nation. It was interesting when I did that. The influence of the language spread around the Fertile Crescent during that time, but their culture did not spread too much. Some of the gods that they worshiped did, but not too much. And I think it's because God intervened in this story. So fear and intimidation to Israel were very real. I mean, if you had to go out of your house and you had to be aware that if you harvested all your grain, all of a sudden over the hill comes this storming group of soldiers and they're like, we want your grain. You'd be like, no, I'm not going to give you the grain. Thunk, you're done. So you'd give the grain and you would be, you know, just a little bit that was left, that was yours. And that would happen over and over again. And the cities were plundered now and then by these armies that were roving around. They were intimidating Israel. And many years back and forth, I think for about 150 years with this people group. We see here many, many people. And this people of Aram, if you do a little bit of research, Aram is the son of Seth. And so this group is from the line of Seth. And when you see them fighting back and forth, it's the sons of Seth fighting the sons of Ham. It's wild. Only a few generations and you see them already fighting. Here a mighty king is planning to take advantage of the enemy and expand the territory of the kingdom. But in the thick of war, God steps in and says, I want to make a point to you. I want to make a point that you may be a king here, you may be powerful here, but I am the God of the universe. Even if you whisper it in your innermost chamber with your most trusted men, I still know what you're talking about. I still know the plans that you have. I still know the scheming that you do, and I just want you to know that I am God. You are daily involved with miracles, seeing the prophet Elisha. If you are the servant, you see the day-by-day things, and Elisha is absolutely, I think, one of the most decorated prophets, if you want to say, with miracles. I mean, look at the miracles that happened during Elisha's time. And yet you see a servant not seeing what God is doing. If I put myself in his place, which I probably have done over the last couple years, I might have doubts, even amongst all the miracles. How many of you have ever seen a miracle and about a year later you forgot about it? I mean, that's how it is with life. So put yourself in the place of the king's most trusted people, the king of Aram, and all of a sudden, the king says to you, are you the one betraying us? Looks at another person. Are you the one betraying us? Are you the one betraying us? Are you the one betraying us? Can you imagine the mood in that room? It goes from, we're going to capture and kill all the Israelites, to, which one of you is the traitor? Instantly, it goes to a room of tension. Instantly, it goes to mistrust. I know we never do that, not as Christians. We never mistrust each other. But everybody's looking around going, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Knowing it's not. And then one pipes up. I don't know where he got the information. It does not say. But he says, it's not us, O king. It's the prophet Elisha. He knows what you're even saying right now to us. They didn't have the devices we have nowadays. Unless maybe they would train parrots to listen and then reverb. I don't know. I don't know if they had that capability back then. But that really wasn't a thing. And so when you have a close-knit group of people and all of a sudden mistrust and traitor is called out, and then they find out it's not, it's the prophet of God. What would you do as the king? The only natural thing that would ever happen, and that's what happened in the story, go get him. If he's that powerful, I want him for myself. I can know what's going on in every single king everywhere. All I have to do is ask him because his God tells him. That just makes sense to me. And if not, just kill him because I'm tired of it. So he sends his armies by night to surround a city. The king is upset. He's suspicious of everyone. He only sees what's in front of him. And he plans to capture Elisha. And yes, it does say sus up there. Because the young people, that means suspicious. Who is the traitor? Can you imagine this? You're making plans to attack the people of Israel. And every time that you make those plans, they're thwarted because everything is known beforehand. There is like a satellite imagery of everything that you say and hear. They're listening at all time. God communicates it through Elisha. Can you imagine being the conduit of God himself saying to the king, guess what? I just want you to know what happened last night. The king made these plans. What if you slept in and you forgot to tell the king that day? Oof. People could die. After looking for that inside informant, all these people were sent to Dothan, a whole army. All I have to say is, can you imagine hearing everything that was said in the private quarters of the king as the king of Israel? That'd be really cool. Be like, he said what? Okay, where are they going to be? Oh, well, that is strategically a good place. But I know a place just a little bit further north we can put our armies, and they'll be safe there. And if they march from there, it'll be coming uphill, so we'll just be like, yeah, take them out. Oh, we're not supposed to attack them? Oh, okay. What? They're going to be at Dothan? Okay, we'll send our armies and surround them if they surround this. You don't want us to send... Why do you want us to go to Samaria? Okay, I'll hold. I'll put the troops there. Okay, we'll put the troops there. I wish we could go kill them all. Just imagine the people in the story. What do you identify with? If God, Elisha, and the satellite imagery that was available during that time to God, all he had to do is look down and be like, this is what's going to happen. A network of God and his messengers called the angels. Now back to today's story. You're waking up early in the morning. You are the servant of Elisha. You have seen many things and you've forgotten many things. You're getting up and you're like, oh, I've got to get up early, take care of everything, got to get water and all this kind of stuff. Got to make sure that Elisha's well taken care of. Open up that door, go out onto the walls of the city, and it was a beautiful day. It was really a beautiful day. And now this. You see, it's in a little valley, and I can see everything around, and we are doomed. We are doomed because there are chariots, and there are horsemen, and there are... Oh, I didn't want to die today. There's no way we're going to survive this. They completely are surrounding the whole city. There's no escape. I thought of digging and maybe we'd get out of here. No, it's not going to happen. Ah, I had a really good job. I was working for the prophet of God. And now, this is terrible. This is actually from Tel Dothan. It's on the top. This is looking out on the hills surrounding. So just picture in your head what he saw that day. It could be something like this, except for the foreground. That's where the city was. Can you imagine looking out there and you are totally surrounded? Your next stop is, I better tell Elisha. He's not going to like this. sir, are you awake? Yes. I have bad news for you. Can you come out? I need to show you something. It's horrible. We're going to die today. Okay. If you say so. Goes out there and he looks. Peace over his face. Total peace. And the servant looks at him and goes, he's lost it. He's totally lost it. How can you be peaceful in this? I mean, look at all the armies that are out there. Yeah, I see them. No, I mean, do you see them? They're carrying pointy things. And they are carrying things that fly through the air. And their horses aren't nice. They bite. It's bad. Yeah, I see them. Well, how can you be so calm? How can you be so calm? This is life-ending. It's terrible for us. Our stories will never be told from generation to generation. It will cease right here. My bones will rot and no one will care. It's just going to be awful. God, open his eyes, please. I don't know how many seconds took place. I don't know if something happened to his eyes. I don't know exactly what happened, but the next chance he had, he looked out over that very same plain, and he was like, oh. In fact, he totally ignored the whole sentence that was before that. And it's like, the people that are with us are more than the people that are against us. He's like, whatever. When you open your eyes that second time, you see the angel armies all around you. All of a sudden, the face of death on the servant went from, we're going to die, to, whoa. I mean, what would you say? Put yourself in his shoes. What would you say when you all of a sudden opened your eyes the second time and you saw the host of God's army between you and death? You know, that happens more times than you are ever aware of. Even one angel can take on a mass of other of those bad angels. But that happens more times than you think. Here we are at this picture of the Tel of Dothan, a real place. Imagine the walls. Imagine looking out on the hills. Imagine the armies that are facing one another, and the army didn't even see the army of God. And then I want you to look at verse 15 with me. I want you to look at verse 15 with me. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? I think I described it a little bit better. We're going to die. So he answered, do not fear. This is one of the most poignant statements to Christians and this person. Do not fear. That doesn't mean be ignorant. That doesn't mean be arrogant. That doesn't mean I can do anything and God will protect me. It means in your heart that you will allow God to be the one that is victorious. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray you open the eyes that he may see. So the first prayer is for the servant's eyes to be opened that he may see. And what does he see? Salvation. He sees life. The second prayer that is prayed, what is the prayer that is prayed? Dear Lord, make them blind. That's a weird thing. Well, it's actually poetry. It's Hebrew poetry. It talks about the same thing in a different light, and all of a sudden you see the opposite happening. So these masses, armies around them, all of a sudden they go dark. And now what are they doing? If you are going to drive a chariot, okay, if you're going to drive a car to church this morning, and all of a sudden you can't see, how many of you would come still? No, don't raise your hands. Some of you would. I know it like the back of my hand. I could drive, doesn't matter. We wouldn't do it. And they froze in place. They didn't know what was going to go on. I mean, I don't even know if the horses were blind, but at one point, everybody can't see. The temptation is to make sure that you're in the stance of protection, and maybe you start killing your friends. I don't know, but that's not what happened. Elisha goes down and talks to the commanders and said, by the way, this is not the place, and that's not where you want to find this guy. Follow me. Fear does weird things to you, because if you're the enemy and somebody comes up to you and says, come follow me, you're in the wrong place, how many of you would actually go? But because they're fearing for their life at that moment, they listen to someone and it sounds like a friendly voice, they're going to go with him. Okay? So they went with them to the capital of Israel during that time, the kingdom, and went and were in the middle of Samaria, and they closed the doors. And Elisha prays another prayer. What does he pray? Open their eyes, kind of like the one before. And this time, did they say, oh, wonderful, salvation is here? No. What they saw was death and dismemberment. They were in the center, surrounded by the army of Israel, and the king is going, please, we are going to wipe this out once and for all. And he says, no. Because if you do it, you will never bring an end to this war. But if I do it, this war will end. Kind of like the life that we live as Christians. If we do it, there'll be no end to the strife and conflict that's going on around us. But if you surrender to God and his armies, he will make the victory happen. But far too often, even as your pastor, I want to do it because I think I can. I have the education. I have the background. I'm a sixth-generation Seventh-day Adventist. I can do it. And God says, I know, but let me. Because if you let me, I will have a glorious, more glorious than you can ever imagine, victory. Because what we would have done is, I'm like, go for it. I mean, I would have let it have it. I mean, everybody's dead. Be like, yes, our enemies are done. Stand on top of them, take pictures, all that kind of stuff, because that would be great. That's revenge. And God says, nope, let me do it. Feed them. Now, for us, that sounds strange. But in the Middle East, that's being a host. Hosts and hostesses, even before a war happened, would have dinner with their enemy. It's a strange thing, I know. It's not our culture. Because once we say somebody's our enemy, we want to kill them in every way possible. But during that time, not so much. People knew about their enemy, but when they ate with them, they got to know them. And they still went to war. We wouldn't, because we got to know them. But don't fear to Israelites becomes fear to their enemies. Today, I would like you to look in your mind at those two prayers. One, open your eyes. The other, you're blind, and then open your eyes later. I sometimes feel like the servant. I only see the problem. I'm only worried about the perceived problems around me and of doom and things like that. And during the springtime and the summer, it's a lot easier to see the not doom and the wonderfulness of life. But when one little bad thing happens, we forget like that God is present. We depend on the observation that we have and the experiences that we have. And the solution is usually something that we like to surround ourselves with because it's self-made. It's okay, like this person, to say, I'm not okay. Elisha, we're in trouble. And Elisha has that just smooth look and be like, I know, it's okay, God's here. And you know what? I must admit, when I have Christian friends that are like, it's okay, God's here, and I'm in trouble, I want to beat them up too. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself right now. When somebody trying to drag you up off the dredges of life and say it's okay, sometimes you don't want to be okay. But it takes them to say, stop it. I've known you for how many years? Stop it. You're not being really nice right now. And I don't care because I'm your friend. You don't have to be nice to me. But you need to realize who I am. It's okay to admit that we're not okay. He goes to tell that prophet, and the prophet sees the solution. And let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen a solution and then tried it and it failed? How many of you have ever seen a solution, you tried it and it worked, and it was the wrong outcome? The servant says, help, help. God, please open his eyes. Whoa, angel armies everywhere. We're gonna win. Yeah, you think? Let me ask you a question today. What do you need to see that would give you the capability of understanding who God is? What do you need to see today that would strengthen your relationship with God? Some of you that are sitting in your living room, you can flip back and forth in the Bible and things like that. Those of you in the pews, you can flip back and forth in your Bibles. You can look online. You can find promises and all kinds of things. But what would you need to see that would get you into a place where your relationship with God is solid? Because if I've learned anything this last year, I learned that our relationships with God are on the edge at best. Because we'll let people that don't agree with us send us off. Or we'll let a mask or no mask set us off. Or we'll let somebody that doesn't agree with us politically to set us off. But let me ask you a serious question. When the armies surrounded Dothan, how many people were arguing with one another? Ask yourself that question. Even look at the people around you and be like, when everybody saw the enemy, what kind of conversations happened after that? There was no arguing with one another. They all were in one accord, and the one accord was saying, we're gonna die. And then the next, I don't know if this happened, but I'm wondering if it did. When he said, open your eyes to the servant, I wonder if they became visible to the people too. Can you imagine everybody on the walls going, we're gonna die, and all of a sudden you see the angel armies, be like, what kind of roar would you hear of relief? Or what would you see as you see Elisha going out? They're all blind out there and say, come with me. And they start following him. And you're part of the city of Dothan. You look and they're leaving to Samaria. And you're like, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We live another day. I hope he leaves them off a cliff. But you see, Elisha knew, and he was the servant of the Most High God. And he depended on him for everything, even the food that he ate on his table. I think it's time for us to be dependent on God totally and realize that the angel armies have always been there and that God has always been there. The problem is we tend to leave him. We tend to leave him over the littlest things. And I'm guilty of it too, the littlest things. We think other things are more important, but he says, look at all those armies. Do you think you could ever lose if you're on the side of God? To be able to see past the world that we live in to the realm of God would be absolutely wonderful. Wouldn't it be comforting to see those angels at work? Wouldn't it be comforting to see those angels in your life, in your relationships? Wouldn't it be wonderful and epic to see the forces of God show up every time that there is an enemy in your life and realize that no matter what kind of thing you're facing right now, God has double the amount you need. I would love to see those angel armies. I would love to have the faith and vision to see past the problem like Elisha did. We have our singles here today. I'd like you to know that as you go hiking and you see anything bad out there, don't run, don't hide. Realize the angel armies are there. By the way, it's safe over there. Just being a little facetious. Or if you're driving along this week along the Beltway, which is a risk of anybody's life, that you know that God is sitting beside you in that seat. If you're trying to make a business deal and it's not going well, just realize that God may have a plan that's other than yours, and realize the business is God's anyhow. Or that you are trying to counsel with somebody and somebody is really not listening and they need to, because their life would change immensely if they only learned how to forgive. Realize that there are angels right beside them encouraging them in their ears saying, you need to follow me. Or if you're just sitting there observing the world, retired, if that word even exists, and realizing that life just wasn't quite what you planned it, but it's pretty good, that the angel armies are still there beside you. And that no matter what you will face in the next few years, he will be there. The story does not end with just that. The story does not end with blindness. It does not end with being able to see. The story ends, and they never returned. I wish in my life that the bad things would never return. And the story, it's honestly saying that they never returned in that way. But then 10 verses later, they return. And there's even things that are far worse that happen. Mothers doing horrible things to their children, eating them because of fear. But what God is talking about here is that God's armies are still there. Because if you read the end of that story, which is horrible, and some of you guys are like, oh, cool, cannibalism in the Bible. No, that's not cool. God's armies show up. And when they show up, the reminiscence of what happened before rings in their ears and they run for their lives. They don't just make them blind in this one. They chase them like they're never going to be able to live again. Even after they were taken to Samaria and then they experienced this thing afterward, I feel it very important for us to realize today that those who are with us are more than those who are against us. That's one of the things, even though we kind of go back into our lives and we kind of do things that we don't want to do again, we kind of keep going back and back and back and back and keep doing the dumb things that we always do, that those who are with us are more than those who came against us. So if you're worried about anything today, I'm going to ask you, simply do this. Pray a prayer that says, open my eyes, God, so that I may see you working in my life. Don't pray that if you don't mean it. Because God, when he says ask and you will receive, he means it, and it happens. If you open your eyes and see what God has in store for you, asking is not only a probability, but it becomes fact. It becomes a right now. We need to ask individually and corporately as a church to have our eyes opened and see what this community really needs from us. Because we have many, many opinions what this community needs from us. But God already has a plan. Maybe it's time for us to open our eyes and see what God has to have in store for us. I have a song that I'd like to play, and then they will get up and do the closing. But I want you to listen to the words, and I know some of you, this is a little emotionally intense song, but I'd like you to listen to the words and kind of put your life and the story right there as you listen to that song.
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name.
Let's bow our heads. Our Father, I ask you as a pastor, individual, that you open my eyes. And dear Father, on the behalf of my church, will you open our eyes so that we can see how you're going to work through us? And dear Father, that you will see that we are your people. Dear Father, I want to thank you for the ability to see sometimes what I can't grasp in my mind. I pray that you'll continue to do that for us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.